what is the rule with dogs at country club situation?
I think every country club is a little bit different. And time of year is probably has something to do with it. Like, you know, after Labor Day, you know, if you want to go out and you want to play nine holes and you want to have your dog with you, some golf clubs are good with that. Other golf clubs are not good with that. Everybody's got a different set of rules.
I think these are, you have working dogs. I think you're good. Just have them go take a leak right on the putting green. I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well. But, you know, most superintendents do have a dog with them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. That is true. That's like a thing. I love that when they roll up in the cart and they got the dog with them. That's like my favorite.
Exactly.
Like, hey, buddy. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think every day I drive in, I get at least one idea that I really like. And it sometimes has to do with the show, and sometimes it doesn't. And there's some days where I have like a complete epiphany with things. And I'm like, man, that is, wow. How come I didn't think of this earlier?
Was it like... Yeah, I have a bunch of those. I have those a lot.
I didn't think of this earlier.
I know when you listen in the morning coming in and you hear all these crazy ads and stuff, whether it be the Dr. Paduk ad.
Yeah.
I mean, you do bring it to us.
Sure. So like the overnight stuff, whether it's the callers or the hosts or the breaks, I mean, it's different than what you hear during our show a lot of the times. So I like to bring those things to the audience when I can. So this particular one, I mean, I think it has to do with the show. And I'm listening to this, it's a PSA, and I'm like, man, we can take something that we have here and I think help the people that are looking for help in this PSA. So now, you probably weren't listening to this at this point of the show, but listen to this PSA and see if you have the same thought that I had.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
All right. So.
Okay, so what am I supposed to think?
I'm listening to this.
I'm not adopting any kids.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm thinking about this.
I'm thinking about getting a dog.
I'm like, someone that I know could use something like this, be very rewarding to them. They could have somebody at their place, maybe to let the dog out when they're not there.
Al Dukes.
And I said, man, if there was someone out there who should adopt a teen...
It's Al Dukes. Right.
And I think that would be absolutely perfect. I mean, that's the thing you need. You got a nephew that you love. And you could have your own version of that and someone in your condo. I mean, you heard how nice that was. They're riding roller coasters together.
And there's a second part to it.
Oh, there's a second kid. Oh, let me hear this.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad.
Perfect. There you go.
All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward.
There you go, Al. Right up your alley.
No, you guys know I do not like teens.
Yeah, but like a friend for your nephew.
Yeah. Can't look at it like a teen.
No, but I'd be responsible for the teen.
Yes, of course you would. And you'd be shaping that teen and giving that teen an opportunity. That
yeah,
maybe he or she would never have before.
I don't think that's right for me.
Right.
Considering I don't like teens. Children are the rats of society.
Okay.
But I mean, I think because you don't have to deal with any of that. Like all the baby stuff and all. I mean, you're getting a teen. You're getting someone who's almost grown at this point that can do things. Take out the garbage, take out whimsy, clean the condo, right?
You just got to check the alcohol and make sure that's, you know, locked up.
So was this adopt a servant or adopt a kid?
I mean, teens don't even like their, you know, sometimes teens are just troublemakers at certain points in their lives.
Yeah, but you're trying to give them a direction. That's usually kids without direction, without understanding, without some sort of adult in their life. You know, like, you can actually make a difference here.
I don't think I'm a good role model for teens.
I disagree. I mean, you're someone who's had a tremendous amount of success in the field that you chose. You are someone who has done everything on your own. I mean, you got a great place down by the water.
You're definitely, you're self-sufficient. That's right. The thing. Like, that's the message. Like, I made it because I wanted to make it. Nobody ever handed me anything. You can't have expectations in life. You have to kind of, you know, push through the grind of life. And you got to have that grit. And that's what you have, Al. You have grit.
Yeah, here's the thing. I have a one-bedroom place. That's the other problem. Well,
I'll tell you what. I'll buy you a pull-out couch.
So we can adopt a teen?
Yeah.
Teenage boys. Teenage boys on your shopping list this year?
Al's like, man, I could just see it like 6 months ago. I thought this adopting a teen thing was a great idea, but now I can't give him back.
He regrets everything.
Yeah, I can't give him back.
Like, this kid just eats everything.
You could have done it during COVID.
Now, all right.
He's going to stage a murder suicide with the kid and Whimsy.
Jesus, man.
Eddie. All right. Now, another thing about this PSA that I heard, and I'm sure there are many great examples of kids who have been in the foster care system who have gotten an adult in their lives and turned things around. They've been handed a rough go of it. But chances are the two examples that you have there are not real.
No.
Are not. Hey, maybe we should start a band. Like, you're probably going to get a guy with a teardrop tattoo.
Oh.
With a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Like, four priors. That's the team you get. Oh, man. I adopt a teen. Hey, hold my hand while we go down the roller coaster. Probably not.
Yeah, it's
probably not what they
sound a little too melancholy.
No, melancholy is like sad.
Too idyllic.
Idyllic.
Idyllic. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. That's a better word. I couldn't even imagine, Al.
I could imagine it. I could see him with the dog. He adopted a, well, he rescued a dog and adopted a teen. And that is his calling in life, I think.
Your car smells like a young, active man.
Oh, my goodness. I missed Al, I got to say. I missed Al. We saw him one day last week. And then he made the news and the New York Post and all that other stuff with his question to Aaron Rodgers. And I wanted to talk to him about it, but I didn't want to bother him on vacation. And then he came out this morning and the warm-up show just firing. It was just classic Al, just taking everybody out and this and that. And I was like, man, you know, I was like, I missed Al.
Who was who were you taking out this morning?
The people who don't care about Hawk to a girl throwing out the first pitch and act like, oh, it's not the worst thing in the world. And just how everything gets compared to the worst thing in the world. So yeah. Then you can't comment on it because it's not the worst thing in the world.
And Major League Baseball Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, who cares, man? Well, you can say that about everything we do that doesn't involve death or a serious injury. Who cares that Aaron Judge hit a home run? We could say that about everything. Doesn't mean it's not worthy of exploration.
And discussion.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
How did you feel about Hawk to a girl?
It was stupid.
Okay.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Because that's all she's known for. Hawk to a! And then they try to hide behind a baseball by calling her viral sensation. Then after people criticize it, they go, oh, she was here for vets and dogs.
I will say they did announce that when she walked out.
Post that.
They didn't post it.
So anybody who saw that, if you didn't happen to see the first pitch.
If you weren't at the game.
Yeah, and you saw all of their social media about it. I was just curious, like, how it happened. It's for the children. Like, like Major League Baseball, not even just the Mets. Major League Baseball put that out. like, hey, look at this.
Look at this one. We're
the official MLB account. Yeah. I was surprised when I saw the official MLB account do that, to be honest with you. But, yeah, we... If you'd like our opinion on this, you can go back to the Odyssey app on Friday at 6 a.m. because we did 20 minutes on it.
Yeah, I'm done talking about it.
Yeah, we did. Al didn't get a chance to, though. I didn't want to bother you on your vacation, but you must have been thrilled to see the MH370 guy thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And WFAN for bringing up his theory on the disappearance of that plane.
He was so excited that real media company, you know what I mean? But just like it wasn't some UFO page or something. You know, this is a legitimate radio station, news coverage. Aaron Rodgers talked about the missing airplane. And then I went back and watched the documentary series that was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I had already seen it, but I was like, let me go back to it now knowing this other stuff. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Did the guy DM you?
No, but he had tagged me on
it. Yeah, I saw he tagged you. I was just wondering if maybe if he would have DM'd
you. No, he did not DM me. I slid into his DMs like a man would.
There you go. Did you ever find out as to why Joe Rogan canceled that interview?
He says, or other people wrote about that and said that when Joe Rogan looked into it, he didn't feel that there was enough evidence, real evidence there.
It wasn't legitimate.
That it was, so he did not think it was legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, this is, when you have Aaron Rodgers going, it's a tough one. Tough one for me. And Joe Rogan going, this isn't legitimate. You know you've gone to the absolute bottom of the ocean with these things. You've really gone there.
It's an interesting one. But if you watch that documentary that's on Netflix, you are led to believe through these various theories, all of them involve America being involved and not telling what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
All the theories. First of all, why we're involved at all? It wasn't our plane, didn't happen in our country.
Yeah, why would we be involved?
Interesting, why would we be
involved? Yeah, interesting.
Because we took the plane.
That's the Al I want right there. That's the one. And we're glad that he's back this week. All right, it's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Monday morning. CeeLo is back. We sort of cut him short last hour like we normally do.
It's fun that way.
Yeah, of course it's fun that way. CeeLo did not get an invite to Jerry's golf tournament.
Not that I recall, but I mean, look, I understand it's a fundraising event. So, you know, unless I was going to come and take part or sponsor a hole like Al's doing.
You'd have to be a celebrity.
Throw down the money.
You'd
I'm not
have to be a
celebrity.
You're kind of a quasi-celebrity.
Quasi. All right.
I mean, there are many different media outlets.
That is true.
Who's the bigger celebrity, you or Peter Schwartz?
Oh, man. Schwartz has quite the following. It's tough to say.
Yeah, it is. That is a tough one. I mean, I think they're on par with one another. I think it's sort of the same type of...
We go together like Gallo and Big Zoo.
Yeah.
And CeeLo does a show out of Teterboro also.
okay.
So I did see Peter Schwartz tweet something out, a video of him. So at Fanatics Fest, you could come out to your favorite wrestler's theme song, and the WWE had their whole setup, so it actually looked like someone coming out. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to do Triple H, and I guess Triple H... like, would have a bottle of water and either pour it on his head or something. So Schwartz comes out with this big... What is Triple H's theme song? Do we know? Like, do you have any idea?
I could probably find it.
But it's like...
So Schwartz was there?
Yeah, he was there.
He was.
I thought you said it was outside of his price range.
I thought so, too.
Oh, no, he went in there.
He definitely got a credential.
He got a Schwing situation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm sure he went through the air conditioning vent somehow. But, so, hey. Yeah, all right. Think about this. Picture this. Now, this is up on his Twitter account, so you can look at it. He comes out to this song. He has a bottle of water like Triple H has, and the security guard comes running out. Now, Schwartz is like 6'6". The security guard is like 5'7", and goes, no, 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 no. and grabs the water bottle away from him, right out of his hands, and then everybody in the crowd that's watching him is pointing and laughing.
That's not my fault.
That's amazing. It's just such a Schwartzian thing.
I'm not taking any of the blame on this.
He's walking out with his Derek Jeter jersey, and everybody's just laughing at him.
Didn't he have like a Derek Jeter jersey on? He had an Islander hat.
It might have been.
And he might have had, I don't know, it was the Jet shirt underneath. He had every team covered.
Do you see
it? Was a female security guard, too?
I couldn't tell. It was far away. I couldn't tell.
Once they took the water, he didn't know what to do with his hands as he was walking. He was like, almost like, holding them together, like hands crossed as if he was...
And when you hear the audio, everybody's laughing. Everybody's laughing at him.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's a bad one.
And the other thing is, he took a picture of himself behind the WFAN desk like a fan would. I'm like, you work here, man.
All right, so what is he wearing?
He is wearing an Islander hat.
An Islander hat.
He's got a Jets t-shirt on.
Yes.
And he's got the Derek Jeter jersey on top of the Jets.
He is like your Mr. FanaticsFest.com guy.
And yeah, I'm looking at the lanyard, says Saturday Adult. Looks like a regular, I don't know that it's a credential. Looks like
he did buy in.
There as a fanatic.
I don't believe
Saturday that. Adult. You think that's a media credential? They put adult on there?
I mean, when you buy a ticket, they give you a lanyard?
Maybe for this type of event, you get yourself a lanyard?
I saw some friends of mine that took a picture of themselves. They had lanyards as well, and they're definitely not media. So, yeah, maybe he did. Who knows?
How about that?
I'll text him. Did you pay for your way into Fanatics Fest? Anybody saying yes?
He's not awake right now. He did the overnight update shift last night.
Oh, did he?
Or not over, the evening into the wee hours.
Anybody taking yes on Peter Schwartz paying his way into Fanatics Fest?
I did see him in the hallway asking Ryan for a pass.
But
I could tell you, Ryan gave him the
stiff arm.
You know what, Peter? I'm not sure. You know, it was one of those like where he was like, knew it was coming.
Yes.
And then when it came, he was like, he didn't give him the like, yeah, no problem, we'll grab you.
And when we were giving tickets away, Jerry was like, he was asking Jerry. He's like, I don't have any.
He asked Jerry?
Yeah.
He's really, I mean, he doesn't want to come to us for anything anymore.
He's going to everybody else around us.
I mean, he's called in how many favors with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we've asked him for favors, too, to be fair.
Of course he's a good sport about it, but like, I mean, some of the stuff he's had to do already, if he keeps coming back to you guys, it's only going to get more and more extreme and ridiculous.
Yeah, but then it becomes more and more part of the show, and it's actually...
Well, it's great for you guys. I don't know
about for him. It's hilarious content. You know, it's crazy.
Yes, for everyone else.
The crazy stuff that he does, yes.
He's looking to find another avenue where he doesn't have to subject himself to such matters.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't have to dress up in a onesie and get marshmallow fluff paste.
Exactly.
Which is just, it really is. How far will he go for free stuff is really the bit there. And there has not been a line yet. There hasn't. Because all the thing, there was a line with the onesie. And then he crossed that for the
but what is
10 legends.
Yeah, right, exactly. Gonna buy him a house next.
Well, it depends, man.
Wasn't he working you guys for a car at one point, or am I
imagining? Yeah, I got him hooked up for a car, but you know.
No.
But I wasn't paying for it. I mean, I was trying to get him to the right deal, and he did not want the brand. He wanted to do something else.
Got it.
He wanted to get some sort of... Kia or something, or I'm not really sure.
No clue.
Careful.
Kia.
There
you go. That's what he wanted.
All right there, CeeLo, what's up, man?
All right, brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Want to do one quick thing before we get to some actual sports. It just jogged in my memory because, Gio, you brought up the PSA and hearing that commercial. So, you know, oftentimes you work here, you're driving, you're in the newsroom, you hear stuff, and it just catches your attention. So this wasn't a PSA, but a few years back, this was a commercial. We were middle of a commercial break, and I happened to be sitting out in the newsroom, and I'm like, did I just hear that right? So I went back and checked the airwaves, and sure enough, this was an Audible commercial that we were playing. And similar to the Ann Ligori and the shotgun, which was live on the air, this was one of those things, just random, but it worked perfectly.
Or maybe you can begin another way. By listening to the most inspiring voices on the planet, listening to stories...
You, sir, die.
incredible.
Come on!
A little malfunction on one of the drops there, which was not done intentionally. You know, Eddie will often drop in like Evans, I'm a loser, when he's doing a read. And I checked with Eddie. This was just, don't have no idea how it happened.
The most inspiring
perfectly
voices in
timed.
America.
Listening to stories.
You, sir, die.
that's good times.
Sponsor wasn't happy about that.
No, probably not, but made for a funny moment for anyone who might have been listening at the time. All right, to sports. 1-0 Yankees last night at Williamsport. Bottom of the ninth. Clay Holmes is on for the save. Yanks are an out away. And on our radio broadcast here on the Fan, Emmanuel Babari throws to Susan Waldman down at field level. This is a bit of a lengthy setup, but I think worth it.
All right, now when they do the handshake line, and I am expecting this to happen, you will see, well, you can't see it on radio, but there will be a young girl here. Her name is Emma, and she plays for Team Australia, and she's the only girl in the Little League World Series. And she's standing with Jason Zillow, the PR director, and she's going to be in the handshake line to shake hands with these kids. With the Yankees.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She's 12. She's the only girl in the Little World Series. She plays for Team Australia.
Amazing. So she'll partake in the handshake line if the Yankees win.
Yeah, she's standing right next to me.
Love it. Yankees 1, Tigers nothing. Can Holmes give him the handshake line?
Couple pitches later.
1-1. Hit hard. Base in left field. Dominguez plays it out there. Keith around third. Throw to the plate on the line. Tag. Save. Tie game. Jace Young, the rookie. Inside out RBI single, and we're knotted at one in the ninth.
If you caught it at the
beginning. You know what I blame? I don't really blame the pitcher. I blame the defensive alignment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How about the defensive alignment? So you had Volpe. Volpe was closer to second base than he was his normal position. If he were at his normal position, it would have been an easy out.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. You had a man on second there. You had a lefty at the plate, correct?
Right.
So he's got to hold the runner, right? Lefty up, normally the shortstop. I'm not going to the full side.
See where Volpe is?
Right. Oh, yeah, he's behind second. You're right.
Behind second?
Yeah, he wasn't really holding the runner.
He's over there because,
you know. When I say hold the runner, I mean in his pocket. But
some analytic geek put down on a piece of paper that this is where we want you to align when this guy is up at bat versus a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
And he was out of position.
Throwing the sinker down and away, slaps it the other way.
And he was out of position.
Look at you. Breaking it down. Defensive alignment.
Hey, just trying to let you know that I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, there we go again. 10 blown saves. Wow. That is
10 blown saves for Clay Holmes. That tied the game. Yankees then retook the lead in the top of the 10th on a DJ LeMahieu RBI single, but Mark Leiter Jr. comes on the bottom of the 10th. He gives up a couple of runs. The Tigers end up winning.
He's been a gas can.
He's been awful.
He has been.
His ERA with the Yankees is north of 6, and his whip is like 2.5.
Whip is 2.5?
It's like 2.4,
did you hear that?
Four, maybe?
It's a big whip.
Is that the biggest? Is that the largest whip that there is on the Yankee pitching staff?
I would imagine. I mean, again, small sample size. He's pitched in, I think, 10 games.
I'm half kidding.
About what?
Could his dad actually do better right now?
His uncle.
No, his uncle's Al. His dad's
Mark. Oh, you're Mark. Okay.
Oh, Mark. Okay.
So we're not even going Al. We're going Mark.
No, his father, Mark.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
He's having a tough time.
Let's go to the whips. See the whips here, Boomer.
Yeah.
Mark Leiter has pitched in 10 games. You know, the only one who's pitched in more than a game that had a worse whip was that De Los Santos that they acquired at the deadline.
Yeah, but he was DFA'd
DFA'd him right out of here. See you later.
Him and
so the two guys.
Was it JT Davis?
JD Davis?
JD Davis. Damn it.
877 runs now.
Oh, yes.
So those guys they brought in for the pen, not working out so well. Tigers win the game 3-2. They take the rubber game. Yankees go 3-3 on their road trip. Holmes, the first Yankee with 10 or more blown saves since Dave Rigetti in 1987, when he had 13 of them. And we talked last hour about Boomer said, well, we'll imagine if he didn't blow any saves, where the Yankees, or half of them. They actually have won three of the 10 games he's blown, so little bit of a difference. Here was Holmes afterwards, enjoyed the fun and the experience of being around the youngsters in Williamsport. However,
you know, bring them some inspiration and hope. You know, that's still a part of this game that I think was very meaningful for all of us. At the same time, you know, we came here to win, and I wasn't able to finish that one off for us.
Now, he's put in a position for a one-run save because that's all the Yankees managed off Tarek Skubal through his six innings of work. Here's Aaron Judge on the All-Star lefty.
It's fun competing against him. You know, he's the best pitcher in the game right now. You know, what he's been doing all year long.
So that's high praise from Judge, and then I thought a curious move by the Yankees. They get Jason Dominguez up last night as the 27th man, and they bat him fifth against this top lefty.
And does nothing.
Switch hitter, we'll have him on the right side. Yeah. His splits this year significantly worse from the right side. So
who splits?
Dominguez.
Oh, Dominguez.
Much better
splits.
Lefty hitter than righty hitter this year.
What are his splits?
I will tell you. As a lefty, he's hitting 128 points higher than
not
on the
good.
Right side.
Just another analytic guy trying to do something with analytics, and he screw it up.
And the OPS, 529 compared to 935.
I tell you.
Tough spot for the kid. He went 0-for-4 with three strikeouts.
Gallo and Fleegs were splitting their ass off this morning. That was another thing I heard.
Splitting their ass off.
Oh, they went through no less than 15 Pete Alonso splits.
Calls were light.
I guess so. Yeah, it must have been. It was like,
I did hear some
Fleegs,
of that,
yeah. Fleegs, I'm going to bring you in here. And I was like, oh boy. I guess that.
Yeah, close and late. Runners on. Bases
wow, Mitchell and Fort Lee's late. We got to somehow get to the 458.
But the numbers, I think, did bear out the point they were trying to make.
That's true, yes,
you know,
they did.
Pete, not exactly of the clutch variety, and he's more so a bases-empty kind of guy.
True.
Anyway, Yankees lose the series 3-3 on the road trip against the Tigers and the White Sox. Still even with the Orioles for first place atop the division. They're off tonight. They've got the Guardians coming in for three beginning Tuesday. We learn the Mets will play the Mariners in next year's Little League Classic. That'll be August of 2025, if you care about such things. This year's Mets couldn't hold a one-run lead. They failed to complete the sweep of the Marlins. They had first and second, no one out for top of the order in the bottom of the ninth yesterday. All for naught.
Runners lead first and third with two out. 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. He did go down and away with a cutter. Leantos missed it, and the Marlins have salvaged the finale of this three-game series.
It's Howie Rose on WCBS.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, Howie. Jeff McNeil tried to bunt. He ended up striking out, and then Francisco Lindor came within, 10 feet or so of what would have been a walk-off home run before the Vientos strikeout. So 3-2 the final in favor of Miami. Making matters worse, Brandon Nimmo left this game with a shoulder injury after he made a diving catch in the top of the seventh. He will undergo an MRI later today.
Sometimes these things can just kind of tighten up and protect itself right away, and then kind of, you know, get better later. So that's what I'm hoping for, and we'll see what we're dealing with tomorrow.
He's calling a general soreness, which I guess it was aggravated on one of the swings there after he made the catch. Better than Alex Bregman. Al brought this to my attention. I guess he was scratched for wicket. Was this over the weekend, Al? The Bregman thing? Yeah. Where he slept wrong on his arm.
That happens. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that happened to me.
I mean, you'd rather at least be making a dive and catch if you got to
come. I wake up every morning with general soreness.
Yes, but you're...
That's your new nickname.
General Soreness.
Hi, I'm General. General
you're
Soreness.
Not in the prime of your professional career.
How do you know?
Come on.
I mean, not that professional career, but this professional career.
No, but the one where, you know, your physical, your general soreness and your physical state of wellness would be a factor. That's what I mean.
My stiffness.
State of wellness. Stiffness, right.
Stiffness.
A lot of early morning. Stiffy.
Yeah, okay, we got it.
All right, here's Carlos Mendoza, his team, two games out of a wild card spot, about to begin a stretch of 10 in a row against
It's not a stiff chef. I don't want it.
In playoff position.
They're important. You know, every game. Every game matters. It doesn't matter who you're playing. We got Baltimore, and then we got to take care of business there. Then we'll take it one game at a time, one series at a time, and then we'll go from there.
So first of three against the Orioles tonight at home. David Peterson, Trevor Rogers, 7-10 first pitch. And then back out west, four against the Padres, three against the Diamondbacks. Both of those teams currently holding down wild card spots the National League.
Well, by the end of this week, we'll know where they are. And that's what I kind of feel like. I said these next three series are their season.
Yeah, I think we'll know. I think when the season's over, we'll know exactly where they're at.
Yeah, when they finally play their last game.
That'll be the time.
Well, the question is, will they be eliminated with a week to go?
Let's hope not.
No, with a week to go, no. I mean, as pessimistic as I've been, I don't think that's the case. It'd probably be a tall order at that point, but I don't think
actually eliminated.
Remind me again what Jerry's, was it 81 and a half?
81 and a half, so he said 82 wins.
He needs 82 wins.
All right. So
82 and 80.
He's in decent shape there at the moment.
He is.
Win me 82 games, gay Mets.
Good God.
All right, CeeLo, good stuff, man. Did you see the Frank Fleming screaming about the Mets bullpen?
I did not.
If you got some
time.
Get
that for you next
time. Maybe got some time. Spitting at the camera.
Some time.
Just having a little bit of a
meltdown. Another meltdown. Not directed at Sal this time.
No.
Just the Met bullpen.
Lots of spit that was coming out of his mouth. A lot of spittle. Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We were just talking about Peter Schwartz and if he paid for his ticket to Fanatics Festival. I did text him. I said, did you pay for your Fanatics Fest pass? His response was, LOL, what do you think?
And the answer to that is no.
No,
you did not pay for it. And thank God he actually answered that way.
Why? Because we found out the truth?
We have inside information.
We do. We had a mole come in here in the break and say that he had a conversation with Peter Schwartz, and Peter did find a way to get that pass for free. And he said that paying for it would not have been worth it to him. So I don't know.
I think him just coming out in his WWE song and that whole moment was a big moment for him.
I agree. I mean, for someone like him, he's the guy that it's worth it for.
Right.
I mean, this was built for guys like Peter Schwartz.
Now, just interesting, because I did listen a little bit yesterday with Keith McPherson at Fanatics Fest.
Okay.
And Keith was talking about how popular Jalen Brunson was. And how, you know, it was amazing just watching how the people were reacting to him. And, you know, Keith's discussion was like, who's the New York sports king of New York? You know, that whole thing.
Mm.
And while we all love, you know, Jalen Brunson and what he has done for the Knicks and what Tom Thibodeau with this group of guys has done with the Knicks, I mean, how can it not be Aaron Judge?
Did you call in?
I was going to call in. I was going to argue with him.
Man.
But I want to put him on the spot.
We'll put him on the spot. That's what here.
We got, you know, Aaron Judge got an MVP. And, you know, Aaron Judge is the, did you see the way that those kids were flocking around him yesterday? Like I was saying, ESPN did a great job with the broadcast and watching those guys get off the plane and watching all those little leaguers go running to all of them, including Juan Soto, everybody. But Aaron Judge stands out because of his size and because of what he's doing on the field. And I, until somebody knocks that guy off his perch, that's the guy.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
I would think that you could probably put a couple Jets and Giants in there in terms of, like, Malik Nabers has the potential to be that.
Let me ask you a question. You really want to do King of New York right now?
No, not really. Okay. But I thought that was kind of interesting, listening to how people were reacting to Jalen Brunson, which seems to be, you know, kind of predictable. Because he's had a great year. We all love him, and we love the fact that he took less money, and you know, he's got his guys around him, and there are high hopes for the Knicks as the season gets ready to go.
He is the main reason that a dead franchise has been revived. There's your bottom line, right?
Yep.
There you go.
The carcasses are left behind.
Right on the road to disaster. Neil in Irvington wants to talk some Yanks with us. What's going on, Neil? Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
What's up, Neil? What do you got for us?
Hey, good talking to you guys, man. Hey, I just want to keep it nice and short. Aaron Boone and Clay Holmes, I've been a fan of Yankees since 1970. They're going to be their downfall this year. I hate to say that. Keep it nice and short and sweet.
Well, that's it, Neil. So those two guys are going to kill the Yankees. Now, I can understand why you think that Clay Holmes is going to kill the Yankees. Why do you think that Aaron Boone's going to kill the Yankees?
His decisions on who to put in, who to take out. He playing the Mayhew. He got a hit yesterday. The Mayhew can't hit nothing. You can throw a fastball straight down the middle. He is swing and miss.
Now, Neil, you believe that Aaron Boone is in soul, like he's the buck stops with him. He's the last say on these lineup decisions?
I think so. No, I really do.
Yeah, see, that's where I disagree, Neil. You have a great day, and thanks for the call. We've talked about this for years. I believe that, not that Aaron Boone has no decision power or no say, but he's not.
Of course he does. He has influence, but
right.
Think about this. They're probably on the plane back, and they're going to be at Yankee Stadium, and I'm sure Brian Cashman, him, and the guys, wherever they hide the analytics guys, they're going to have a meeting, and they're going to talk about, okay, what's the other option for our closer? Because our closer is getting lit up. So every time he comes in, whether it be loading the bases with walks or hits, and he's in a real funk right now.
Yeah.
And they are in a pennant race, and they are, they're right there with the Orioles. And, you can't have a guy come in, and this is why Mariano is so beloved. I mean, he blew some saves every now and again. It's not, it's not 100% perfect, but when he came in a huge spot, he was exactly, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he was. He was the greatest of all
time. He was exactly what you wanted.
You know what each one of these decisions that are made on the field, you know what they are? Collaborative.
Collaborative decisions, yes.
Collaborative.
Yes.
Bob is in Milford, Connecticut. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, yeah, my son, who never wakes up early, got up early Saturday morning, and he got on the train with a couple of his buddies to go down to the Fanatics thing. And he came home, and he had a picture of Peter Schwartz. They thought it was Butterbean the boxer.
Come on. Bob, please tell me you're telling the truth.
Come on.
That's what he took a picture.
You're telling me the truth. Now, if you're not, it's a great joke. But if you are telling the truth, this is an all-timer. Are you? Did that really happen?
The story they told me. They're like, we were looking for Hulk Hogan, and we ran into Butterbean.
Bob, I'm going to believe you that this happened because that is amazing. I could actually see that because there is some similar stuff there.
Now, I mean, Peter
Butterbean was completely head shaven, but
yeah, but Peter, Peter's a big guy, but I don't know, he looked like a true Fanatics Fest guy with all the different things that he had on, T-shirt, the jersey, the hat. That's a Fanatics Fest type of guy.
My favorite WFAN related mistaken identity. it's pretty good. It's Butterbean on CBS Sports Network. But my favorite ever WFAN mistaken identity happened in the newsroom here. And it was towards the Upside Down where Infinity Sports Radio is. And Steve Summers was still a full-time employee. And there was a young lady who was either an intern or worked at one of the other radio stations and went up to Steve and said, "It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Sharpton."
What?
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 It was when Al Sharpton had lost all the weight and was really thin. This young lady thought that Steve was Al Sharpton.
That must have worked. How'd that go over?
I mean, everybody was that had heard it was like trying not to just guffaw. And he was okay, and he wasn't sure what was going on.
Oh, boy.
But that's just as good as it gets. Screw it. We'll go late to the break. Talk to Peter. Peter wants to defend himself here. Peter Schwartz, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Good. So is there anything that we have said that is untrue?
Yes. The last phone caller was 100%. Incorrect. I was not dressed up as Butterbean.
Well, no,
they said they confused you for Butterbean. Right. They didn't say you were dressed up as Butterbean. Right.
I misheard that while I was eating breakfast. I'm sorry.
Okay. So
I thought that's what I heard.
Did a group of kids come up to you and take a picture?
No, that's not true. Okay. That's not true.
That's too bad. All right.
Anyway. I had zero photo requests on Saturday.
Oh, all right.
Not one person recognized me.
Wow. That's got to be a blow to you. That you don't like that at all.
Yeah, it was a nice relaxing day with family and friends.
With family and friends? So yeah. How many free passes did you get?
Well, I only asked for four. And I wound up with eight.
But what is this sorcery that you possess? This is amazing. Go ahead.
I asked for four. I asked for four tickets because I was not, at the time that I asked, we weren't sure if Bradley was going to be able to go because we didn't know what the college schedule was going to look like. So I asked for four and was told no problem. And then I get an email with four codes on it. And then as I punch the code in, each code was good for two tickets.
Oh, wow. Nice. Tickets.
How about that? That's how I went up with eight. So I know, you know,
Peter, I know you are a festival type of guy. You always showed up at my all-star football game, and you love Long Island. You love New York. Uh-huh. You love sports. Where would you put Fanatics Fest on the Peter Schwartz list of great things to do?
I thought it was like a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good. We had a fun day. I thought the prices of the memorabilia dealers were a little high. That's kind of brings it down.
It is New York. It's not Cleveland. I mean, remember when you went to the Hall of Fame game and stayed in Canton? You remember you stayed that Red Roof Inn and you had that one room for your entire family?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is New York. Well,
I'm just saying, I go to a lot of memorabilia shows with the kids, and I just thought that the general pricing was a little high. That's all.
The rest of the experience was
phenomenal. Enjoyed all the activities.
Peter, to be fair, when have you ever gone to anything and been like, you know what, the price is right with this thing? You know, I think I'm happy to pay this price.
I forgot. We went
to Daryl Strawberry bobblehead day earlier in the season and paid $20 a ticket. I thought that was well worth it.
Okay. All right. So, did you took a picture behind the WFAN desk like a fan when you work here?
Yeah. I thought I'd have a little fun with that.
Okay. All right. How about the young lady security guard that ripped the water bottle out of your hands while you were doing a Triple H entrance?
So, I was online and with a friend, and I said, you know, I'm going to do Triple H, but I need a bottle of water to do this correctly because that's what he does when he comes out and gets introduced. He takes a bottle of water, he spills a little bit on his head, pours a little bit in his mouth, and spits it up in the air. I'm like, I'd have to do it correctly to do it, you know, to have fun with it. So he goes and runs and gets me a bottle of water, and I go through what they call the gorilla position, which is where the wrestlers go before they come out down the ramp. And the lady asked me, which wrestler? And I said, Triple H. And I didn't hide the bottle. I had it out open in my hand. Walked through, went past another person that was back there checking everybody. I mean, what did they think I was going to do with the bottle?
I don't know. They probably were just instructed, we don't need any water everywhere. We throw the thing. Well, who knows?
Triple H was actually there. I think about an hour before I walked through, and he spit the water up in the air. And I'm like, well, it couldn't have been that they were concerned about, you know, the equipment.
Yeah, but he's Triple H. You're right. Peter Schwartz.
Exactly. Tom Brady threw a football across the room.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We were just talking about Peter Schwartz and if he paid for his tickets at Fanatics Festival. I did text him. I said, did you pay for your Fanatics Fest pass? His response was, LOL, what do you think?
And the answer to that is no.
No,
you did not pay for it. And thank God he actually answered that way.
Why? Because we found out the truth?
We have inside information.
We do. We had a mole come in here in the break and say that he had a conversation with Peter Schwartz, and Peter did find a way to get that pass for free. And he said that paying for it would not have been worth it to him. So I don't know.
I think him just coming out in his WWE song and that whole moment was a big moment for him.
I agree. I mean, for someone like him, he's the guy that it's worth it for.
Right.
I mean, this was built for guys like Peter Schwartz.
Now, just interesting, because I did listen a little bit yesterday with Keith McPherson at Fanatics Fest.
Okay.
And Keith was talking about how popular Jalen Brunson was. And how, you know, it was amazing just watching how the people were reacting to him. And, you know, Keith's discussion was like, who's the New York sports king of New York? You know, that whole thing.
Mm.
And while we all love, Jalen Brunson and what he has done for the Knicks and what Tom Thibodeau with this group of guys has done with the Knicks, I mean, how can it not be Aaron Judge?
Did you call in?
I was going to call in. I was going to argue with him.
Man.
But I want to put him on the spot.
Well, put him on the spot. That's what we do here.
We got, you know, Aaron Judge's got an MVP. And, you know, Aaron Judge is the, did you see the way that those kids were flocking around him yesterday? Like I was saying, ESPN did a great job with the broadcast and watching those guys get off the plane and watching all those little leaguers go running to all of them, including Juan Soto, everybody. But Aaron Judge stands out because of his size and because of what he's doing on the field. And I, you know, until somebody knocks that guy off his perch, that's the guy.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
I would think that you could probably put a couple of Jets and Giants in there in terms of, like, Malik Nabers has the potential to be that.
Let me ask you a question. You really want to do King of New York right now?
No, not really. Okay. But I thought that that was kind of interesting, listening to how people were reacting to Jalen Brunson, which seems to be, you know, kind of predictable. Because he's had a great year. We all love him, and we love the fact that he took less money, and you know, he's got his guys around him, and there are high hopes for the Knicks as the season gets ready to go.
He is the main reason that a dead franchise has been revived. There's your bottom line, right?
Yep.
There you go.
The carcasses are left behind.
Right on the road to disaster. Neil in Irvington wants to talk some Yanks with us. What's going on, Neil? Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Neil? What do you got for us?
Hey, good talking to you guys, man. Hey, I just want to keep it nice and short. Aaron Boone and Clay Holmes, I've been a fan of Yankees since 1970. They're going to be their downfall this year. I hate to say that. Keep it nice and short and sweet.
Well, that's it, Neil. So those two guys are going to kill the Yankees. Now, I can understand why you think that Clay Holmes is going to kill the Yankees. Why do you think that Aaron Boone's going to kill the Yankees?
His decisions on who to put in, who to take out. He played the Mayhew. He got a hit yesterday. The Mayhew can't hit nothing. You can throw a fastball straight down the middle. He has swing and miss.
Now, Neil, you believe that Aaron Boone is in soul, like he's the buck stops with him. He's the last say on these lineup decisions?
I think so. No, I really do.
Yeah, see, that's where I disagree, Neil. You have a great day, and thanks for the call. We've talked about this for years. I believe that, not that Aaron Boone has no decision power or no say, but he's not.
Of course he does. He has influence, but
right.
Think about this. They're probably on the plane back, and they're going to be at Yankee Stadium, and I'm sure Brian Cashman, him, and the guys, wherever they hide the analytics guys, they're going to have a meeting, and they're going to talk about, okay, what's the other option for our closer? Because our closer is getting lit up. So every time he comes in, whether it be loading the bases with walks or hits, and he's in a real funk right now.
Yeah.
And they are in a pennant race, and they are, they're right there with the Orioles. And, you know, you can't have a guy come in. And this is why Mariano is so beloved. I mean, he blew some saves every now and again. It's not, you know, it's not 100% perfect. But when he came in a huge spot, he was exactly, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he was. He was the greatest of all
time. He was exactly what you wanted.
You know what each one of these decisions that are made on the field, you know what they are? Collaborative.
Collaborative decisions, yes.
Collaborative.
Yes.
Bob is in Milford, Connecticut. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, yeah, my son, who never wakes up early, got up early Saturday morning, and he got on the train with a couple of his buddies to go down to the Fanatics thing, and he came home, and he had a picture of Peter Schwartz. They thought it was Butterbean the boxer.
Come on. Bob, please tell me you're telling the truth.
Come on.
That's what he took a picture.
You're telling me the truth. Now, if you're not, it's a great joke. But if you are telling the truth, this is an all-timer. Are you? Did that really happen?
The story they told me. They're like, we were looking for Hulk Hogan, and we ran into Butterbean.
Bob, I'm going to believe you that this happened, because that is amazing. I could actually see that, because there is some similar stuff there.
Now, I mean, you know, Peter
Butterbean was completely head-shaven. But.
Yeah, but Peter, you know, Peter's a big guy. But I don't know, like, he looked like a true Fanatics Fest guy with all the different things that he had on. T-shirt, the jersey, the hat. That's a Fanatics Fest type of guy.
My favorite WFAN-related mistaken identity. Yeah, it's just pretty good. There's Butterbean on CBS Sports Network. But my favorite ever WFAN mistaken identity happened in the newsroom here. And it was towards the Upside Down where Infinity Sports Radio is. And Steve Summers was still a full-time employee. And there was a young lady who was either an intern or worked at one of the other radio stations and went up to Steve and said, "It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Sharpton."
What?
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 It was when Al Sharpton had lost all the weight and was really thin. This young lady thought that Steve was Al Sharpton.
That must have worked. How'd that go over?
I mean, he was
Steve
so confused.
Actually even hear it?
He was so everybody was that had heard it was like trying not to just guffaw. And he was okay. You know, and he wasn't sure what was going on.
Oh, boy.
But that's just as good as it gets. Screw it. We'll go late to the break. Talk to Peter. Peter wants to defend himself here. Peter Schwartz, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Good. So is there anything that we have said that is untrue?
Yes. The last phone caller was 100%. Incorrect. I was not dressed up as Butterbean.
Well, no. Wait, hold on.
No, they said they confused you for Butterbean. Right. They didn't say you were dressed up as Butterbean. Right.
I misheard that while I was eating breakfast. I'm sorry.
Okay. So
I thought that's what I heard.
Did a group of kids come up to you and take a picture?
No, that's not true. Okay. That's not true.
Well, that's too bad. All right.
Anyway. I had zero photo requests on Saturday.
Oh, all right.
Not so then not one person recognized me.
Wow. That's got to be a blow to you. That you don't like that at all.
Yeah, it was a nice relaxing day with family and friends.
With family and friends? So yeah. How many free passes did you get?
Well, I only asked for four. And I wound up with eight.
But what is this sorcery that you possess? Like, I mean, this is amazing. Go ahead.
I asked for four tickets because I was not, at the time that I asked, we weren't sure if Bradley was going to be able to go because we didn't know what the college schedule was going to look like. So I asked for four and was told no problem. And then I get an email with four codes on it. And then as I punched the code in, each code was good for two tickets.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I know, Peter, I know you are a festival type of guy. You always showed up at my All-Star football game, and you love Long Island, you love New York, uh-huh. You love sports. Where would you put Fanatics Fest on the Peter Schwartz list of great things to do?
I thought it was like a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good. We had a fun day. I thought the prices of the memorabilia dealers were a little high. That's kind of brings it down a little bit.
It is New York. It's not Cleveland. I mean, remember when you went to the Hall of Fame game and stayed in Canton? You remember you stayed that Red Roof Inn and you had that one room for your entire family?
Yeah.
I mean, this is New York.
I'm just saying, I go to a lot of memorabilia shows with the kids, and I just thought that the general pricing was a little high. That's all.
All right.
The rest of the experience was phenomenal. Enjoyed all the activities.
Peter, to be fair, when have you ever gone to anything and been like, you know what, the price is right with this thing? You know, I think I'm happy to pay this price.
I forgot. We went
to Daryl Strawberry Bobblehead Day earlier in the season and paid $20 a ticket. I thought that was well worth it.
Okay. All right. So, did you took a picture behind the WFAN desk like a fan when you work here?
Yeah. I thought I'd have a little fun with that.
Okay. All right. How about the young lady security guard that ripped the water bottle out of your hands while you were doing a Triple H entrance?
So, I was online and with a friend, and I said, I'm going to do Triple H, but I need a bottle of water to do this correctly because that's what he does when he comes out and gets introduced. He takes a bottle of water, he spills a little bit on his head, pours a little bit in his mouth, and spits it up in the air. I'm like, I have to do it correctly to do it, to have fun with it. So he goes and runs and gets me a bottle of water,
and I go through what they call the gorilla position, which is where the wrestlers go before they come out down the ramp. And the lady asked me, which wrestler? And I said, Triple H. And I didn't hide the bottle. I had it out open in my hand, walked through, went past another person that was back there checking everybody. I mean, what did they think I was going to do with the bottle?
I don't know. They probably were just instructed, we don't need any water everywhere. We throw the thing. Who knows?
Triple H was actually there. I think about an hour before I walked through, and he spit the water up in the air. And I'm like, well, it couldn't have been that they were concerned about, the equipment.
Yeah, but he's Triple H. Right. You're Peter Schwartz.
Exactly. Tom Brady threw a football across the room, and I got thrown out for doing it. Like,
I could still spit water up in the air and have it land on equipment.
How old are you, Peter?
57.